everyone, and welcome to this week's call. Today is Word Art in December, December 2nd. And you better start your shopping for Christmas or your holidays. And this is Kurt Morton.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Anybody hear me?
Hi.
Oh,
yep.
Good. You can hear me. Good.
Hello.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Anybody?
Yes.
Oh, good. I didn't know if you could. All right. That's a good sign. Always a good sign. All right. Well, we're going to spend some time talking about a principle of persuasion, and then we'll have you take notes. We'll talk about application and open it up for questions as far as ways that we can use these and apply them. I'm hearing a little music, and you can always hit star 6 to mute yourself out if you have any background noise. Today, I've been studying this recently about persuasion, how to increase your ability to persuade others, and humor. And there's this, not a surprising correlation. I knew there would be a correlation, but there is a huge correlation between your ability to get someone to smile, your ability to get someone to laugh, and your ability to persuade them. A lot of people take humor for granted, but it's not just entertainment or just something that you do, but when you engage somebody with humor or get them to laugh, it's very disarming. And they open up to you. They feel more comfortable around you. They feel more optimistic. They're more attentive, and they like you better. Now, I'm not asking you to be a stand-up comedian or practice a lot of your jokes or other things, but there's simple things that you can do to make people feel better, to make people smile. But you have to remember, too, with humor is that they're either going to laugh with you or feel sorry for you. Okay? That's just kind of how it goes. So if you are going to use humor, make sure that it works. But you can leverage this to help people out, especially when you're using highly emotional issues like negotiation or foreclosure. Great thing about humor, too, not only does it make them feel better and like you more, but it also keeps their minds from wandering. Another reason this works so well is that humor tends to divert the prospect's mind from negative thoughts. The more you can get them to smile or laugh, the more positive thoughts they're going to have, the more they're going to accept your message. Any moment they can smile or laugh. Now, some people can get concerned because they don't laugh or smile at their jokes, but some people tend to smile on the inside. Some people are not going to smile no matter what you do. But humor is an interesting thing. In fact, when you're talking about a group situation, more people will tend to laugh and smile in the evening more than the morning because stress is lower. And you also important, if you ever do any group situations, that the more you can pack people in, the more laughter you'll get. I mean, you look at a movie theater. If you're the only one in a movie theater and there's a scary part or a funny part, it's hard to get people to laugh when they're spread apart than when they're sitting close together. It's something that's very, very contagious. So understanding humor is critical here. As you become more and more skilled at incorporating it, you're going to see people want to be around you more because it increases their happiness. And this is what it does. When you're doing a presentation, whether it's over the phone or face-to-face, humor can ease emotional pain, which is critical in real estate. If they're losing their home or foreclosure, it creates more positive, optimistic environment. They sense your goodwill. It increases their mental participation. And this is something we can all work on. And when you use humor in your message, again, whether it's on the internet, in your sales copy, face-to-face, you become more memorable. It strikes an emotional chord, and it tends to reveal good, what we call an important truth. And the key here, and we've talked about this before, is when you use humor, it puts them in a good mood. We've talked about that mood matters. When people are in a bad mood, negative, pessimistic mood, they recall negative, bad, and pessimistic things. When you get them in a better mood, they're more optimistic, they recall better things, and they like you better. And it helps you establish rapport, it actually increases your trust, it enhances your image, and actually even boosts your confidence. So what are some forms of humor that you think you could use in a day-to-day presentation? Has anybody thought about that? What are some things that you can incorporate that might work for you?
Make jokes about the healthcare plan that Obama's running through?
Yeah, you could. Well, you got to be careful there. Let's talk about that. There's if you make jokes about political things, you're going to offend half the people right off the bat. So you want to steer clear of political and probably religious jokes, and the most are probably got to be careful there. But, you know, if there's a joke that works, you can make sure you test it ahead of time. It could be an embarrassing moment. It could be a story. It could be a picture. Even there's things all over the Internet of pictures or funny stories or things you can attach to an email or use over the phone. Anybody can do this. It could be a quote. There's so many things. And what works for you? And expect the humor to work. Because you could probably think of a time when you heard a really funny story and or a funny joke and you were all excited about it and you went to tell somebody about it and nothing happened. Because it isn't the delivery. The delivery is more than anything. If you want practice, look at Leno or Letterman or Conan. A lot of the things they say aren't funny, but they expect the laughter and what they do afterwards and the delivery, it makes it funny. Again, you don't have to be a stand-up comedian. Even you just get them to smile a little bit with esteem or praise, it goes a long way. So when you can use your gestures and your facial expressions and your vocal expression, it goes a long, long way. And part of it, too, is knowing your audience. Like I said, the political and the religious jokes, be careful of those. You also want to get to know them, what they're going through. You don't want to do a stand-up comedic routine if someone's knocking on a door that's going to foreclosure or something like that. But it works. You know, a way you talk to a mom might be different than someone who's in sports. But the late Victor Borges said that laughter is the shortest distance between two people. You want them to open up. You want them to like you. You want to ease their tension. Wow. It really works. And it takes some practice. It won't happen overnight. But spontaneous humor, thinking quick on your feet, is a great way to gain instant rapport. One thing you can do is, I don't know if you've ever heard of improv before. Most cities have improv. If you ever saw the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, it's basically humor that's created at the spur of the moment. Anybody can be funny. Anybody can learn to do it. Anybody can learn to think on their feet. They have classes probably at your community college. If you have an improv, a comedy theater in your city, a lot of them offer classes. They're very inexpensive to work on your humor, to work to think on your feet. That can be part of the process because a lot of the humor can come off the cuff. It's spontaneous, and it works very, very well. So, again, be able to monitor their mood. Can you tell a joke? Make sure you practice it on somebody else before you use it out in the real world. And make sure it's not offensive. Make sure it's short, that you don't go a long, long time. But, again, this will grab their attention, and they will like you better. And the sad thing is this. And if you have music in the background, hit star 6. It'll mute you out. Is that the 3-year-olds will laugh and smile over 300 times a day. Adults, about 6 times a day. I know there's a lot of stress out there, and we're busy, but, man, if you can just get someone to smile or laugh. In fact, let's do a quick exercise here. This is what I want everyone to do. For the next 5 seconds, is I want you to smile as big as you can. Okay, ready, go. Big smile. Show me more teeth, bigger. Okay, a little bigger. Bigger. Okay. Now, that was a forced exercise by smiling for 5 seconds, if you did it. Tell me, how did that make you feel inside?
More positive.
A little more positive. What else did it do?
Energetic.
Energetic, you feel maybe a little lighter. And so if you're not feeling comfortable with humor, even a smile would work. In retail settings, say like mall settings, when people smile on the initial contact, sales will go up anywhere from 20 to 40%. In telemarketing, when there's a mirror and they're smiling in front of that mirror, their sales go up. So even if you're on the phone, and you can smile, there's something transmitted through your voice, through your energy, that people feel. Because when we talk about mood, if you had a foul day and you just don't feel good and you just fought with somebody and you put on that fake smile and you call them up on the phone or meet them face to face, you're not faking anybody out but you. They're sensing something's wrong. They might know exactly what it is. They're not thinking, oh, they just fought with their spouse. They just feel uncomfortable, awkward. Remember that subconscious trigger. So even how you smile over the phone when you meet people, smiles are very contagious. They're very disarming. And let's see, how much does a smile cost? Anybody want to do the math on that?
Zero.
Zero. They're free. We don't laugh and smile enough. And get people, even if you're not trying to persuade them, people are going to like you better. They're going to want to be around you. People don't want to be around negative, pessimistic people. That's just reality. So some things that you could do just to use humor is you can pull things off the internet. If you're doing presentations or webinars, you can go to places like cartoonbank.com or cartoons.com. Now, if you're using them in a public setting, you might have to pay a little royalty. I know in my second book I had to pay a pretty penny to have comics included, but I felt it was worth it. Gets a smile in seminars. I paid to use comics. Now, a lot of people just copy them and use them, but the reality is you should contact the person and say, hey, I'm just going to use it in a seminar. They might charge you $25 or $50. They might charge. It depends on who did it, how famous the illustrator is. But, man, if you can get a smile over the phone during a webinar or a seminar face-to-face, it might be worth your while. There are plenty of jokes and riddle sites and places that will send you email today. And pick the ones that you like, and the more you tell them, the better you'll be at them. Or if you don't like that, just start working on getting people to smile or to feel better about themselves. That is power for you. There's a direct correlation between your ability to get someone to smile and your ability to persuade them. It makes people feel happier or boost your confidence. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, laughter can relieve tension, soothe the pain of disappointment, and strengthen the spirit. That's how powerful it is. It's something we can all improve on. It's both an art and a science. So any aspect of life. And if you want to practice this, you can always take a look at the joke. But I really want you to understand that it's all part of the delivery. And you might want to practice this before you go out in the real world to practice the joke or the story. Because everyone has an embarrassing moment. Those work very, very well. Everyone has something that happened to them or happened that day or something in the news that's funny. Start looking for material. Start looking for those resources. And that's something I want you to do this week, is find ways where you can get people to smile, get people to laugh. That's how it works. In fact, let me give you a little formula here if you really want, for my logical friends out there. If you want a cut and dry formula how to tell a joke, I'll give it to you. Now, you need to really set the mood to be able to do this, but there's four parts. There's the introduction, the next one, I'm going to write that one down. Okay, so there's introduction, the next is the groundwork, next one is the build-up, and then there's the punchline. So let me go through those steps, and you tell me if this is funny or not, or offensive or not. So here's the introduction, all right? Communication is critical to any relationship. Even married couples who've been married for, a few years need to communicate their expectations of each other. Communication is a lifelong process, okay? Introduction, not funny, but we're setting the stage. We're obviously talking about communication. So here's the groundwork. That reminds me of an old friend of mine I used to work with who was the quiet type. He never said much, but he always got the job done. He was a dedicated worker and had been married for over 20 years. So we're kind of painting the picture. We're setting the groundwork. Again, still not funny. Then we go to the build-up. That friend won the $20 million lottery. The news traveled around his workplace like wildfire. When he regained his composure, he called his wife, who still didn't know what was going on. The phone rang. She finally picked up, and he told her about he'd won the $20 million lottery. He said he'd be cleaning out his office and say goodbye to his coworkers, and he instructed her that she should always get her things packed right away. So there's the build-up. Still not funny, but we're building up. He won the money. She's getting things packed. So here's the punchline. His wife was thrilled over the prospect of celebrating and wondered where he would take her. Alaska, Mexico, Hawaii, he thought. She was eager to get packing and asked him where they were going to go. The new millionaire happily remarked, "You could go wherever you want as long as you're gone when I get home." All right, not funny? Now let me talk about that for a second. I did that for a reason, just to show you the different things. Now, I know you're smiling on the inside, but the challenge here is that that offends some people. Now, when I change the wife and husband around, I get 3 times more laughter. But when it's the husband to the wife, that's not fair, and we get some scowls in the audience. That's important. So you have to be very careful with your audience and your delivery. So if you want the 4-part, that works with any type of a joke. But again, be careful that it's not condescending, that it's not offensive, that it's not picking on somebody that can't fight back. Those are all things. But again, everybody has embarrassing moments that they can tell. They have some type of thing that happened throughout the week. So I want you to think about that this week. What can you do, what can you say to increase the amount of smiles that you get? What can you do to, are you a joke person? Are you a story person? What is it that you can do to either get them to laugh, to smile on the inside? Because how well a joke goes over depends on who they are. It could be the time of day, how stressful they are. But it's something people love. There is a direct correlation between your ability to persuade and your humor. Whether you feel you're good in that area or not, it's all an area that we can improve on. All an area that works very, very well. So make sure your humor's tested. Make sure they're in a mood for it. I mean, if they're angry and yelling at you, a joke at that particular time might not help you. But once there's a little connection there, it goes a long way, especially in highly emotional situations. We teach humor when people are in the middle of a stress negotiation, when there's a standstill. Humor works very, very well when people are in a foul mood, or in a deep, not a deep depression, but feeling a little pessimistic. That tends to work out very, very well. You've probably seen the movie Patch Adams. Humor heals people. It heals people. We've seen it in hospital. People live longer. It decreases heart disease. And humors, we've seen volunteer clowns, cartoons, funny. It works. It works. In the classroom, when teachers use humor, it increases students' comprehension. It generates greater participation. Whether you're a parent, coach, religious groups, it all comes together. So think about embarrassing moments. That might be something this week. But I want you to again think this week. What can you add as you meet people? Look for funny situations. You don't belittle or bring other people down for humor. Some people do that. I don't think that's appropriate. But look into your own life. Look to your family and friends. Ask if people, if they know funny jokes. Now, here's something you can do if you're not feeling very funny. Ask the person you're talking to if they know a funny story, they know a funny joke. And they'll smile along with you. You'll laugh, and when they're telling it, they'll start to smile. That's something that you can do. Those are things that make it seem so simple, but goes a long, long way. Any questions on that?
Kirk, I had a question. If you're going to use the humor when you're calling a lot of people on the phone and they can't see you, I heard you suggest with the networking company that maybe a mirror, you know, would help if you're smiling, you see yourself smiling. Do you have any other suggestions for the phone and humor?
Yeah, mirror's a big part of that, and kind of being aware of your mood, because we think we're hiding behind a phone, that if we're frowning and grumpy and faking it, that they don't sense it, but the studies show that they do. And a lot, even with acting, a lot of times we're thinking we're coming across as too energetic or too much energy, but usually a lot of that is kind of lost on a phone. So sometimes even acting things out, using hand gestures has been known to help when you're talking on the phone. When I'm doing webinars, my hands are moving all the time. That just kind of increases the energy level. So your hand movements and always listen to a recording of your voice to see if what you think you're doing is actually coming across that way. Because you might think you're Mr. Energetic, but when you listen to the recording, it doesn't sound that way. So it seems like through a phone and even through a webinar that some of that energy is lost. So you might want to crank it up just a little bit to make sure that's going through the phone. questions out there? Anybody feeling funny? Want to tell me a joke?
So, if Obama lifts the, and does this medical thing, does that mean Canada will lift the borders and we all become those crazy Canadians?
Probably. Come on to the political jokes again, huh?
Dang Canadians.
I have a situational humor.
All right, go ahead.
My friend's daughter tried to sneak out of play school with some Play-Doh. So it's amazing how quick you have to learn these grace under fire. She was trying to teach her daughter how to, learn to share and that there's abundance for everyone.
That's right. Situational things like that, things that happen throughout the day are good. Again, we have mentioned the websites that you can go to. There's jokes and riddles all over the internet, comics.com, cartoonbank.com, watching people like Jerry Seinfeld or Bill Cosby or Tim Allen. If you have XM Radio, they have humor stations. There's also a comedy station on most cable where you can watch comedians and see what they're doing and watch your gestures and listen for things that's funny. And, you know, if you're going to do something exactly that they're going to do, to give them credit, of course. But it's a simple thing. It's a simple thing that we can all work on. Like when I start a seminar, I'll talk about when I was in kindergarten and I was trying to learn how to persuade someone to vote for my painting, and I ultimately pulled blue paint over her head. You know, it takes you about 5 minutes to build it up, but it gets the laughter, especially in the beginning. It adds a lot of value, especially in emotional situations. Negotiation is very important. Great negotiators, I've noticed as I monitor them, do have a great sense of humor. They can think instantly on situations, get people to smile, get people to laugh. It's very, very disarming. Even when I talk about verbal packaging, if you talk about, you know, don't call somebody stupid, say, the wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead. You know, or dumber than a box of hair, sharp as a marble, studied for a blood test and failed, the got into the gene pool when the lifeguard wasn't watching, the gates are down, the lights are flashing, but the train isn't coming. So there's little things that you can add throughout the situation that goes a long, long way. Any other questions about what we talked about today or things that you're running into during the week?
No, that was really good, bud.
Good. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? Rude remarks? Take them all. I've got somebody just emailed me a question about, I mentioned earlier about how humor works better than the evening and then in the morning, to kind of clarify that. And this is what's happening. In the morning, you've got all these things in your mind, the things you need to do, the stress levels is up. We just know that humor is increased when people are sitting close together at nighttime when the stress levels are down, and it can be different from day to day depending on what's happening. But the main thing is that stress levels are down, and people tend to laugh more in the evening time because the day's done, they've crossed things off their list, and they're moving forward. So here's your assignment this week, and break in if you have a question, is think about things. Borrow it from a friend. Ask people to tell you a joke. Because you can, that does the same thing. If both of you can laugh and they're telling it, it still does the same thing. Maybe look up a few things, embarrassing moments, things that are happening. Wow. What a difference it makes in your ability to persuade and influence. All right. Any other questions? Going once.
No, sounds good.
Going twice. And one last suggestion, if watching funny videos, DVDs, will make you a funnier person too, just kind of listen to what other people doing in those situations. That goes a long way. But then the last lesson, if you do not think this could be you, get them to tell you a joke, get them to tell you a story, embarrassing moments. It goes a long, long way. So practice humor. Not only will it increase your health, decrease heart disease, make you a happier person, it also makes them happier and increases your ability to persuade and influence, especially in highly emotional situations. All right. Any last minute questions?
Kurt, Jason, not a question, just a little comment. Hey, I rip on Obama a lot, but being Canadian from North Vancouver, I appreciate everything you do, and I'll still rip on freaking Canadians. But yeah,
okay.
I think to thank you for that. But hey, being from North Vancouver, BC, I had a lot of fun tonight. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. And if there's other topics that you guys want to spend some time on, and I also want to know, as you're going out there and approaching people and talking to people, things you're running into, this is what I'm here for, and we can work you through it and make sure you do it, you learn from it, and we can get you out there and get you as successful as possible. That being said, everyone have a good evening and a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.